I'm Katie. I'm alcoholic.
Hi, Katie.
It's really scary up here. There's a lot of people looking at me. All right. I don't like speaking at all, so bear with me. So I guess just go back. My sobriety date is January 31st, 2013. My childhood. I had a pretty decent childhood. I grew up with a dad who drank a lot. And it's funny because I can't really remember being like really, really young, but I remember being like 6 or 7 and my mom waking me up in the middle of the night to watch my dad come home like slaughtered. And I just remember seeing a huge smile on his face. And I was like, I want to be that happy. I'm going to do what he's doing. Like I've heard stories where everyone's like, I don't want to turn into what they were because they were alcoholic. But I was like, I want to do that. Give me what you have. Like, and I'm like 6 or 7. So I started off thinking kind of weird at a young age. I didn't really fit in school. I had giant glasses that people would make fun of me for. And so I would break them in half, and my dad would go buy me the same exact pair. So it was like a vicious circle. It didn't ever get fixed. And so I didn't have very many friends growing up. My first drink, I don't really remember. I remember my first blackout. I was 17, and I was just at this little hole-in-the-wall bar where I could drink at. And I remember getting there, and I'm wearing like these giant stiletto heels. And I remember getting there. I remember like 5 minutes of being there, and I don't really remember anything after that. I remember waking up at some dude's house with one shoe, and my car was at home, but I had the keys. And I couldn't really put two and two together, but I just figured I fell asleep early. I was like, oh, we must have left the bar and I fell asleep. So that was how that went down. That was my first like blackout, and I couldn't really, you know, I didn't know it was a blackout. So I started dating a guy that was older than me, and he was a huge partier. So I got into the party scene at about 17. And I would only party on the weekends. That was my thing. I was like, I have to go to school. I have to, you know, focus on my grades. And when I say focus on my grades, I mean, I didn't go until second period every day. So, because I had to go to McDonald's for breakfast. And so I didn't really go to school, but when I was in school, I tried to pay attention. I graduated somehow and stayed with this guy. And the end of the year after I graduated, had some friends over, and my dad went to Vegas, and I was like, I'm gonna have a party. And this party consisted of 6 people, including me and my boyfriend at the time. And it ended up getting a little out of hand, and he put me in the hospital that night. And I think after, like, he got arrested, and I was like, no, I love you, don't go to jail. That was when my drinking, like, really took a sharp turn, and I just wanted to party all the time. I didn't want to go to college. I didn't want to do the right thing at the age of 18. I wanted to just go out and be obliterated every night. So that's what I did. And a few years later, I was about 20. I met a guy, and we started dating, and about 4 or 5 months after we started dating, he asked me to marry him. And I said, yes, this is awesome. And about 2 weeks after he asked me to marry him, he was like, so I have to go to the airport next week. Are you going to take me? And I was like, well, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to Germany. I'm like, why are you going to Germany? And he's like, I'm in the military. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So I'm marrying a guy I didn't know was in the military. And so I was like, okay, this is going to work. You know, we'll make this work. Do I get to keep your truck while you're there? Like, you know. So I took him to the airport the next week, and like a couple weeks after that, he's like, when are you getting your passport? And I'm like, I'm not going to Germany. I ended up going to Germany. I was there for like maybe 6 months. The marriage failed after that, and I moved to Massachusetts, where I turned 21. So Germany was fun. I was able to drink because I was taller than the bar. So that was cool. So when I got to the States, I was like, well, I'm legal to drink here now, so I have to treat it like I've never drank at a real bar. So I ended up in the hospital a week after my 21st birthday with a bleeding brain. And I think I got home from the hospital, and like within the first week, I was like, I'm never gonna drink again, I'm gonna take it easy. And then I was drunk like within the first week. So it didn't really, you know, work out for me. I kept partying, kept doing that until I really pushed like everybody close to me away from me. The girl that I lived with in Massachusetts was my best friend my whole life, and she was pretty much at her wit's end. She was like, get away from me, like just go back to Florida. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna go back to Florida and I'm gonna turn over a new leaf. So I get back to Florida and I pretty much moved in with my mom and just took all her money and drank on it. It didn't really work out. So probably October of 2012, I was working at a restaurant in South Tampa, and I wanted to, we went out every Tuesday night, and like the group of people that I hung out with were just like me, because I can't hang out with normal people. Like it's just, if someone doesn't finish a drink in the 5 minutes, I'm like, what's wrong with you? So I go every Tuesday night, we called it Blackout Tuesday, because that was our mission. We wanted to blackout. That's obviously I'm an alcoholic. So we would go, and this Tuesday I decided to drink all day long before, and I went to the bar and I definitely blacked out and woke up in the hospital again. I don't know what it was about waking up in the hospital, but this time my mom was next to me crying her eyes out. I was like, Mom, I'm good. I'm still really drunk, but I was like, I'm good. You know, we're good, just take me home. And I had this giant neck thing on. I was like, just get this thing off of me. I was fighting doctors left and right. And, sorry. I'm really nervous. Okay, so I'm at this hospital and my mom's like, I think you need help. And I was like, I think you need help. And she was like, I know this place in Tampa, you know, let's go check it out. And I'm like, what's this place? And so she takes me to Turning Point, and they did this whole evaluation asking me like 100 million questions. Did you do this? Did you do that? And I'm like, dude, is any of your business? And so I answered all the questions, and they're like, well, you qualify, you can be inpatient. And I was like, yeah, no, that's not gonna happen. So I walk back out and I'm like, Mom, they totally said I can do outpatient. I can do 3 days a week and go to this little group thing, and I'll be fine. Like, I'll be cured. I won't ever drink again. So I walked out of that place and never went back. And it was about a month later, I met someone who was a female, and I was like, okay, so I'm done with guys because guys screw me over, so I'm gonna date you because you're a girl and you're a lesbian, so let's do this. So I started dating this girl, and she's like crazy about me, and I'm just like, yeah, you're just, okay. So we were hanging out, and I wouldn't be affectionate at all with her. I was just like, you know, can you go to the bar and get me a drink while I go flirt with this guy? And she figured out that I had a big drinking problem really quick. And I lost my job at the restaurant I was working at and decided that I was just going to hang out at her lake every single day and drink every single day. And finally she like cut me off. She's like, okay, you either have the lake or you have the drinks. And I was like, well, I can go to the other side of the lake and I won't be on your property. So I was like literally loopholing everything just so I can get a drink. And I didn't realize it at the time. It was just like, it's what I needed. It's what I had to do. Really? Yes. So, anyways, long story short, she ended up calling and contacting my mom and sat me down one night after I drank all night long until like 9 a.m. and was like, sat me down, and I'm still like out of it. And she's like, look, you can either go to treatment or your mom and I are walking out of your life. And I like sat there, and that was the first time I actually like sat there and thought about it for a second. I was like, really? Would my mom do that? I didn't even care about the girl. I was like, would my mom do that to me? So I was like, fine. I went home and I packed a bag and I went to treatment the next day. And I was very scared and lonely at first, and I was probably a huge bitch in treatment to like the first 20 people that walked up to me. But my first meeting I went to was a women's meeting, and this woman walked up to me, I don't think she's here, but she walked up to me with this giant smile and this, like, her arms open, and she's like, give me a hug. And I'm like, I swear to God, if you touch me. And she touched me, she gave me a hug, but I like could feel like happiness like through the hug. I know that sounds really weird, but like she hugged me and I was just like, oh my God, this is cozy, you know, like how do I get that? And like from there, I just literally like, I did the deal. I got a sponsor and I worked the steps. And today I have like an amazing job and I have a brand new car that I probably, like if you would have seen my old car, it hit a few trees and curbs. and it's mine. Like it's in my name. I don't have a cosigner, and that's like, oh, thank God. But like that's all comes with this program and a higher power. And like I have a great relationship now with my higher power, and I have like amazing friends, and it's really been the best thing that's ever happened in my life. Like I couldn't change anything even if I wanted to. So that's all I've got. Thanks.